First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. It's a weird day in sports. It is definitely a weird day in sports. Why? Because today was supposed to be opening day for Major League Baseball. So many of us know that. So many of us have traditions around opening day. So that's what we're asking you to share a little joy here. Let's have a little fun. Let's share a little joy by going in and taking a look at it. I want you to chime in. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz, or you can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It was what I want to know. What's your opening day tradition for whatever your favorite sport is? The one that really gets you jazzed up. What do you do to celebrate opening day? Let's tell some fun stories. Let's get each other on a fun spot and just get the opportunity to share some fun. Before we get to dive into today's episode, let's make sure that we get you some headlines that you need to know. It starts with a little bit of Major League Baseball news. The draft is likely to be in July at this point. Major League Baseball draft is increasingly likely to happen in July, but it could be shortened and include bonus deferrals, and that's what sources have told ESPN. So yet another sport trying to figure out what to do with the draft. That's part of it. And then on a positive note, we talk a lot about everybody helping each other right now. Drew Brees and his wife Brittany have announced a $5 million commitment to the state of Louisiana in 2020 to help, quote, our communities get through this tough time. So yet again, Drew Brees stepping up to try and help Louisiana through this tough time. Again, this is a tough time, and there's nothing that I can say or do that's going to change that for so many of us. But what we can try and do is offer a little escapism, a little distraction, by breaking down some of the big news you need to know for the day and getting you guys involved. Your take today. What's your opening day tradition? I don't care what the sport is, what your favorite sport is. What do you do to celebrate the kickoff of all of it? First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're brought to you by Shell, V-Power, Nitro Plus, Premium Gasoline. You guys can call in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, it's another day, which means we have more quarterback conversation. We have now gotten the news that negotiations are reopening between Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Now, we don't know exactly what that means or where they even are in negotiations, but we do know, according to reports at this point, that the Cowboys have made an offer. We haven't heard what Dak and his camp have asked in return. That's something yesterday the ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer joined us and broke down, that we're not exactly sure what Dak's camp wants. What we now know is that the negotiation is again ongoing. Now that they're speaking again, the question is, what's it going to come to? Does Dak need to hold out? How does all of this go down? Max, Stephen A., we're joined by Marcus Spears to debate Dak and the Cowboys.
If the Cowboys were serious about franchising him, they wouldn't show every indication of caving. Jerry Jones has never made his money on the margins. You know, I'll cut this fine deal, and because of this percentage point, I'll get rich. Jerry Jones has admitted he's, quote unquote, overpaid for every really successful asset he's acquired, including the Dallas Cowboys in his estimation. He doesn't make money on the margins. Jerry Jones makes his money with big ideas. He has a big imagination. And so that's exactly the kind of person who, when you're negotiating with, you don't have to worry about them trying to be a penny wise and pound foolish. What did they say about Ezekiel Elliott, Stephen A., Molly? What'd they say? Stephen Jones comes out, and obviously on the same page with Jerry, we're not going to set the market with Zeke. Zeke didn't have the leverage Dak had, and he couldn't even just sit out and become a free agent. And what did they do a week after they made that comment? They set the market with Zeke. They reset it. Guaranteed money and average annual salary. They've done that all over the place on this team. They've paid all kinds of players, but you mean to tell me when push comes to shove, they'll come up all the way to $105 million and make him among the highest paid players, but not go that extra mile? And if they are intent on towing the line because now they have an ego stake in it, right? No, we show we're not going to pay him more than Russell Wilson or something like that, or Carson Wentz or something like that, they're going to have to give somewhere else, and that would be in the 4 years. The point, Stephen A., is when one party shows every indication of cracking, they're going to crack. Do you just give up? No. You say, okay, you've taken me this far. You're going to give me what I want one way or the other. Either money's going to come up or the contract's going to get a little shorter. The Cowboys have shown every indication of caving. Dak should threaten to hold out because I don't think he'll have to.
Well, let me tell you this. I think that you have to be careful, and this is where I disagree with you. Obviously, I've been of the mindset that Dak Prescott has not been treated well by the Dallas Cowboys because had this been Tony Romo, who's hadn't missed a game in 4 years, completed better than 65% of his passes in three of those 4 years, won at least one playoff game or what have you, you would have taken care of Tony Romo, so you should take care of Dak Prescott. But there is such a thing as pushing the envelope a little bit too far. I remember years ago, Max Kellerman, the late, great Commissioner David Stern, God rest his soul, for the National Basketball Association. He and I were in his office for lunch. Obviously, he gave me a Pepsi and he sat down. And, you know, it was in the aftermath of negotiations in like 2011 or something. And he talked about, he didn't use the words throwing somebody a bone. But he said, when you're working in concert with one another, even though you might be the player, and we might be management or ownership, the fact of the matter is that when you have your proverbial foot and you're willing to step on somebody's throat, then you ask them to go out there and perform for you, it's a problem. Well, the same thing exists in reverse. If you're a player and you literally step on somebody's throat just because you can at that particular moment in time, you never know how it could come back and haunt you. Dak Prescott should definitely go about the business of getting his money. And by the way, a fifth year should be commensurate with whatever available dollars he thinks is going to be there in year five. You know, so in that regard, you want to make sure you're getting your money. But in the same breath, you want to be careful about pushing the envelope to a point where you could ultimately screw up your team, especially in a hard cap league like that is the NFL. I'm not saying don't get your money. I'm not saying don't go all out to get what your market value is. But what I'm saying is if the Dallas Cowboys come up to that number, and then you're playing hardball for the business of simply playing hardball just because you can, it could potentially come back to bite you in a sport like the National Football League. Again, get your money. Get what you're worth. But once that happens, then you start playing possum or what have you. Just because you can, it can get dangerous. And that's all I'm saying. You got to be careful about that.
Well, I think the big sticking point is the amount of years, and obviously they trying to compensate for where the money goes with the CBA. But to that point, Stephen, when you look at this situation with Dak, and he's looked at everybody else get contracts, and obviously the structure will be different. Like putting your foot on the franchise's neck is what they do to you when it's time for you to go. So the situation you talked about yesterday with Cam Newton. This is business. This is the type of things that transpire. As players, we don't know how many times we're going to get to hit free agency, or we get a chance to put our proverbial foot on somebody's neck, whether they look at that as positive or not. The only way Dak can fall off if he gets paid and goes out and plays terrible. But outside of that, if I feel like they're offering me 105 and I can get 112, I'm not taking 111. That's just how it goes because it's such a short notice. Now, I don't know what the relationship would entail after the fact, but to that point, like if you have a 4-year deal and you got to your 112 and they offered 105, that's just a win. That's the price of doing business. I don't know what relationship or respect that you need to have beyond that, outside of the fact that you just won a negotiation.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say, Stephen A, that it's a former Cowboy. Go ahead, Mom.
I wouldn't say that it's foot on the neck. I wouldn't say that at all. In fact, when you get to the very end of your deal, when they've had you as a fourth round pick, so they haven't had to pay you so far practically anything, and they've wasted all that time where you had him on his rookie deal for peanuts, right? But they made you come right up to this point and then franchised you. What they're saying is, no, we're negotiating hardball. So that goes for the other side, too. It has nothing to do with putting his foot on their neck. It has to do with the new CBA. So, Stephen A., when you're saying make sure you get your money in that fifth year, it's not about the fifth year. It's about the next 5 or 6 year deal. So, in other words, he goes through the 4 years. Now the money comes way up and he can negotiate a 5-6 year deal according to the new larger CBA. That affects his money for years and years. That's why he wants to do it that way.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. The hardest part about this, though, I'll go back to what Todd Archer told us yesterday. We haven't actually heard from anybody in Dak's camp about what Dak wants. We can look all day long about what we've heard that the Cowboys are offering, which is a deal just short of Carson Wentz and about $33 million a year. We've heard these reports. We seem to have a mindset around what the Cowboys want to pay, but we have no idea what Dak thinks he's worth. And this is a little like going in to buy a house and you know what the buyer is offering, but you have no idea what the seller wants. And so for everything we're talking about, we have to understand that we don't know how much of it is about the number of years. We don't know if it's about the amount of money that's fully guaranteed. We don't know if it's about the amount of money overall. Is it about how much money's up front? We don't know any of these things. And the contracts can be structured so interestingly. We don't know what the sticking point is. What we know is this. The Cowboys get these deals done. That's what I keep telling you. The Cowboys get these deals done. They said they weren't going to set the market for Zeke. That's one of the things that you heard Max allude to. Then what did they do? They set the market with Zeke. They say they're not going to set the market with Dak. Fine. Even if they say that, likelihood, they're still going to do it. Look, this is just complicated. It just takes time. And what we don't know is how much money is going to become up front, how much money is going to go long term. What we do know is that for anyone that says that Dak has leverage right now, they're wrong. The fact is the Cowboys have the ability to franchise him this year and franchise him next year. They didn't change any of that in the collective bargaining agreement. Would it cost them a ton of money? Yes. Would it be an absolute epic blow to the salary cap for some teams? Yes. Are teams able to figure it out when they want to? Yeah. So as much as we want to say that everything comes down to right now and he has to get this deal done or else, does it? I mean, what prevents them from going through this year and then, if they have to, franchising him the next year? And if Dak goes out and he earns the franchise tag again next year, what then prevents him from doing a mega deal with a ton of guaranteed money? Nothing. That's the real of it here. We're flipping out because this hasn't been done on our time frame, in our mindset, in our way. And this is just a yet another example of people outside looking into business that's very complicated and trying to make it very simple. Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money, learn more at progressive.com. I've asked you guys to chime in. What's your opening day tradition? You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I mean for any sport, whatever your favorite sport is. You know, Steven or Shane on Twitter says opening day chili dogs, Frito pie, the works. I miss opening day. I think a lot of us do, obviously, today. Jay said, my favorite thing, and I'm being honest here, is being in East L.A. when the sun comes up and everyone on the block's wearing their Dodgers gear, drinking, cooking, and pregaming for opening day. KB says, attending opening day. Well, that's obviously not the ability. For me, as a football junkie, like the opening day of the NFL season every year is the same for me. I always make a really big meal, like a fancy, I should have gone somewhere and ordered it meal, and I eat a dozen donuts. That's the tradition. It doesn't go anywhere. I want to know your opening day traditions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of that in just a second. As we're on the topic of quarterbacks, we've had another conversation about Tom Brady. Now, Bruce Arians said that Brady can still make all the throws and could be great. The question is, can he? So Stephen A., Max, and Marcus Spears debated whether or not Tom Brady can still be great in specifically in Bruce Arians' offense.
I think he can be. I don't think last year was any indication that he can't be. That's where I'm going with. I understand that that birth certificate is collecting an additional dust. And as a result of that, who knows what he's going to look like next year. But what this tells me listening to Coach Bruce Arians is this. Clearly, he didn't see that last year. What this tells me is that Bruce Arians believes that there's nothing that he sees that says that Tom Brady can't do it. With Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, with Cameron Brate, with O.J. Howard, the list goes on and on. With him calling the plays along with Byron Leftwich, he believes that Tom Brady can do that, and so do I. I don't view Tom Brady as somebody who's lost such flagrant steps that he's simply, you know, just another guy right now. Hell no. He's Tom Brady. I still believe he can be great. I still believe he's going to be great. I'd like to remind everybody that at age 42, you know, with slippage, with bereft of weapons, the guy threw for over 4,000 yards, only threw 8 interceptions. I'd like to remind everybody in 18 years, because in 2008, he only played one game when he got hurt and Matt Castle had to come in. But in 18 complete seasons, he has never thrown more than 14 interceptions in a season. He has never won less than 9 games in a season. As a matter of fact, that was only once. Every other time, he's won 10 or more. This is Tom Brady that we're talking about here. And the multitude of weapons that he'll have available to him, particularly playing in the division where you get Carolina twice. You get Atlanta with their suspect defense twice. You get New Orleans twice. That could probably be a shootout. We have to understand what this man is going to be capable of. So I hear what Bruce Arians is saying, and what it says to me is that Bruce Arians believes watching the film, paying attention to who Tom Brady is and what they're getting, they didn't see the kind of slippage that Max and others were alluding to, and that's why they're confident he could do it. And if they're confident, I'm confident.
Look, I remember Brady tweeting, he tweeted it out, a picture of 61 miles an hour on the radar gun, apparently for my benefit, that he wasn't falling off the cliff. There's no denying the physical evidence that he can still throw the ball down the field, and he can still even thread the needle down the field. But there's a big difference between being able to do that. You know, you could say, well, he can be accurate down the field, and being an accurate passer down the field, period. In other words, Michael Vick, when he was in his prime, I saw him thread the needle down the field, like a laser-guided missile. But he couldn't do it consistently. He could do it sometimes, not consistently. Brady used to be able to do that consistently. Now he does that. He's capable of doing it, but the consistency's not there. Now, a lot of people say that's because the receivers aren't where they're supposed to be. They were young. They didn't have the speed on the outside. But what I saw was different. And the way I think about that is, as players get older, they can still get the giddy up on the fastball if they muscle it. But they're going to lose consistency of the accuracy. That's why Brady, I think, that's a contributing factor. Because I can't deny the facts that he had a young receiving core, that he didn't have speed on the outside, he didn't have a tight end. Those are facts. So maybe they weren't where they were supposed to be sometimes. But that's one contributing factor. Another that I thought I saw, whatever Bruce Arians saw, was he has to do more to get the mustard on the ball. So he was missing guys deep. He was missing them shallow. He was missing them left. He was missing them right. And I did not see the consistency of the accuracy threading the needle down the field. That's the difference as a player ages, and I believe that's what's happened to Tom Brady. Can he still be dangerous with speedsters down the field? Yes, he can, as many quarterbacks can. Can he do it like he used to consistently? That remains to be seen, and I have my doubts.
Well, Bruce Arians, the bottom line is Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are going to have to protect Tom Brady as this season goes along. It's not about can Tom Brady push the ball downfield. We all know it. We just saw him do it last year. It's not about if he has enough arm strength to push it 60 yards down the field. My whole question is, can you do it over a 17-week season as much as Bruce Arians' history has told us he will ask his quarterback to do it? I think that's the question that everyone needs to be asking. The bottom line is this, guys. Tom Brady is still a top-tier quarterback in this league as much as Max doesn't want to admit to that. He can still play within what Tom Brady has done to make him successful for a large amount of years in this league. And when you look at this particular situation, everybody will have newness to everything except for Tom Brady if Tampa is smart. If Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich is asking Tom Brady to be what they've grown accustomed to being as far as coaching quarterbacks that can push the ball downfield, this ain't going to be a good marriage. But if they allow Tom Brady to call shots and allow him to be in this offense, he can have success.
First, take your take on ESPN News. Marcus Spears with the mic drop moment right there. I mean, that's the most important part of this. If you think that Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are going to put Tom Brady in a situation where they're asking him to air it out 60 yards, then you also think Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians are bad at their job. This is simple. All right. There is a spot where you want coaches to coach the talent that they have to the best of their ability. Do you believe that Tom Brady just willy-nilly signed with Tampa Bay with no conversation about what he wants in an offense? I don't believe that. But even if you do believe that, do you believe that Tampa Bay went out and signed him and then said, okay, now what we're going to do is have our really smart coaches misuse what he's capable of? The fact is, it doesn't matter if he can push the ball downfield 60 yards because Bruce Arians isn't going to ask him to do that. They're going to be able to move the ball doing what Tom Brady does, because frankly, if we believe that Bruce Arians is a great coach, and most people do, and if you believe that Byron Leftwich is a rising coach that's going to get consideration to become great, and most people do, and you believe that Tom Brady is and has been a great quarterback, most people do, then you should also believe that none of them took enough stupid pills to forget how to do their jobs. I mean, that's the biggest part of this. We're debating whether or not he can push the ball downfield without ever acknowledging that they're not going to ask him to push the dang ball down the field. Come on now. Look, Tampa Bay is going to have a different looking offense this year because they should have a different looking offense. And by the way, they have great weapons at wide receiver that are capable of getting yards after the catch, which means there's going to be some big numbers put up without asking Brady to take a 7-step drop, eat some meat and cheese, and then decide to heave the ball 70 yards down the field. Good Lord. Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. We're brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. If Bruce Arians asks Tom Brady to throw the ball 60 yards down the field, the Bucs are going to have to use Indeed to find a new coach, because that means he's lost his mind. All right, we're going to keep talking quarterbacks because First Take has done a really cool thing. We love following up on it. It's called the QB Continued Series. This time, they're going to address the MVP. You'll hear that next. But first, while you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home. Even if you have zero, that's right, no computer experience, instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future and do it right now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. We'll keep taking your thoughts on opening day and the quarterback continued series from First Take next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Sports. Breaking news. He is life.
Keep it going, guys. A great day, every guys, in the morning.
And the biggest names in the game.
Hey, thank you, guys. And thanks for all y'all do for sports. Go Tigers.
Golic and Wingo. Tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Get you some headlines that we'll do throughout the show so you know some of the things that still going on in the world of sports, and one of them is around the WNBA. The WNBA will hold their draft on April 17th. That's as originally scheduled, but they'll do it without a gathering of draftees, media, or fans because of the pandemic, the league announced Thursday. So instead, WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert will announce the picks live on a broadcast starting at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and then the ESPN app, with the top prospects taking part remotely. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that NFL, because remember, everybody's been talking about whether or not they will push the draft back. This is a reminder that leagues across the board are trying to find a way to continue to do business. And speaking of doing business, looks like on the business side of it, Tom Brady is trying to trademark something. The catchy TB by TB, TBXTB. He's trying to trademark that phrase as Tom Brady heads to Tampa Bay. Just a reminder of the business side of everything. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you for your opening day traditions. Whatever you got, whatever your favorite sport is, today was supposed to be the opening day for Major League Baseball. What is your opening day tradition? Don't forget, by the way, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. They give you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, on First Take today, they've continued their QB continued series. It's been a lot of fun. They've been taking a look at a different quarterback and team as a result of it every day. Today, they were joined by Mark Ingram, who joined First Take to discuss Lamar Jackson after his MVP season with the Ravens.
Tell me, what stood out to you the most about Lamar's MVP season? Because he took a lot of criticism as well.
I mean, basically just how he handled it, man, how he carried himself. He believed in himself, his work ethic, how he loves his teammates, how he wants to be the best for his teammates. He has a special relationship with everybody in the organization. So just the person he is and how he handled the, you know, the pressure. Had a great year, and he's only going to continue to get better. So I'm just proud of him. I'm glad to be in the same team with him, on the same backfield with him. I'll just try to make his job easy.
We give so much credit, Mark Ingram, to the Tennessee Titans for the way they performed or whatever. But as you guys reflect on the postseason that you had, what was different in that game compared to what y'all were doing in the regular season? As you reflect on that game, what do you guys think that you should have done that you weren't doing?
man. You know, in the NFL playoffs, is one game elimination. If you mess around and have a bad game, your first game of the playoffs, you essentially go home and sit on the couch. Those guys came in with a great game plan. We had some opportunities that we didn't take advantage of that they capitalized on. And, you know, a few plays here and there, turnovers, big plays that we allowed them to have. And we just didn't have a good game, man. So we got to do better. And when the lights are the brightest, we got to perform. So we'll learn from that and we'll be better for it this year.
How much pressure is on you guys from this point of view, Mark? I liken you in certain ways to like D'Antoni's teams. You know, it was always in the NBA, you can't win just jacking up three-point shots, and the whole league said you couldn't do that. D'Antoni believed you could but never won a championship doing it. Then the league changed based on that, right? Like, you can't build around a quarterback who plays the way Lamar Jackson does until someone did. That's you guys. But you still haven't won a championship. Do you feel any, like, pressure to prove that you can win this way, like, for Lamar Jackson?
No, we don't feel pressure to prove that we can win a certain way. We know that we can win that way. We just got to go out and do it. I mean, Lamar's a young QB. His first year, he got thrown in the fire, and he went 6-2 as a starter, made it to the playoffs, and, you know, we didn't have success that first year. But then last year, we went 14-2, made it to the playoffs. We just got to perform when the time is right. When the lights are brightest, playoffs, one game elimination, you can't afford to have mistakes. You can't afford to have turnovers. You can't afford to have lapses in your mental focus. So we just got to learn from those lessons and continue, you know, the success that we had in the regular season. We got to take that to the postseason. We just got to have that confidence, have that swagger, and go and execute, man. And we have the guys to do it. We have the coach staff to do it. We have the organization to do it. And we have the quarterback to do it. So we're just back at square root one, preparing to have a championship run this year.
Mark, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are the rave. Not only are they the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, but they're considered to have the best player in football in Patrick Mahomes, who's an absolute stud. You know, from an opposition standpoint, how does that affect you guys in terms of your approach to the season, what your mindset is, knowing that you've got that guy standing in the way of any kind of dreams or aspirations you have of being Super Bowl champions?
I mean, Pat Mahomes is a monster, man. He's a special player. His leadership, his accuracy, his arm strength, he can be mobile outside the pocket, and he has it all. I mean, that's why he was the MVP 2 years ago, and that's why he was the Super Bowl champ and the Super Bowl MVP this year. But, you know, we respect them, but we're not scared of them. We know they have a great team, but we feel that we have a great team. We feel that we have a great quarterback and our guy, LJ. So we feel if we do what we need to do, you know, play the way we can play and play to our potential, man, we feel like we can beat anybody. So we got respect for the Chiefs, man, defending Super Bowl champions. We know we play them next year. We'll have to see them in the playoffs if we want to win a Super Bowl. But, yeah, we focus on us, and we know that if we play to the best of our abilities that we could, you know, beat anybody.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. So we'll keep breaking it down. I mean, that's a look from Ingram and obviously First Take at the Ravens, but I want to get a little bit more insight on it as we do every day with the QB Continued series. So now we'll hop over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN Ravens reporter Jamison Hensley. So Jamison, what are your thoughts? I mean, it feels like it took a long time for everybody to buy in for Lamar Jackson, and now everybody's absolutely bought in, and everybody seems to be hyping him. What are your thoughts on reasonable expectations going into next season for him particularly?
Yeah, I mean, I think they still expect to kind of get that same overall production, but it might be kind of split up a little differently. They're never going to be in a situation where they're going to say, Lamar, don't ever run. We don't want you to be a running quarterback. But I think, and John Harbaugh talked about this at the end of the season, that there will be an evolution over the next few years. And what I took from that was that they're going to try to get Lamar Jackson to get better in the pocket, throw the ball down the field a little bit more, get the wide receivers more involved, which is pretty much his biggest weakness right now, and also then reduce the number of times you're going to run. And they still understand that he is a weapon, and he's really at his best when he is in that open field and he is just breaking ankles left and right. But they also understand for the longevity aspect of this, they just can't keep asking him to run that much each game.
Let's take a look at the rest of the team at this point, because I feel like we've been sort of quiet on the Ravens, but you're talking about a team that adds Calais Campbell, who still feels like he can have an impact across the NFL, and you know, they, as well as the rest of what they've done throughout the offseason. So who are the Ravens to you going into next season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I thought I was really impressed with me in free agency. They didn't have a lot of cap room, but what they did, they pretty much focused all on the defense. They have pretty much everybody except one starter on the offense returning, and that is the right guard, Marshall Yanda, who retired. And that's going to be obviously leave a big void there. But I think defensively they thought they needed a lot more upgrades. And so they put the franchise tag on pass rusher Matthew Judon. Then, like you said, they traded for Calais Campbell. They signed Michael Brockers, which hopefully that deal is going to come through. They're having some problems as far as getting doctors to look at him and look at his ankle sprain. But defensively, I think they really improved on that front seven. And if they can get that defense to even come up, and they were good last year, but I think they feel like they can create even more plays and put Lamar Jackson into better situations. They feel like they can just be as good as they were last year.
So with Brady no longer with the Patriots, that sort of knocks them out. We're not sure who the Titans are long term. Where do the Ravens sit in the power rankings of the AFC to you?
I think when you look at it, and especially on the AFC side, it's really them and the Chiefs. I think that's the AFC championship game everybody wanted to see last year. The Titans obviously kind of threw a wrench into all of that. But I think the Ravens feel if they can kind of, especially run defense, they can kind of get that locked down. And they can match up a little bit better against the likes of a Derrick Henry, that they're right up there with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And, again, two young quarterbacks who have already won MVPs. And a lot of the Ravens players I've talked to, they said, hey, look at Patrick Mahomes. He won MVP one year, and then the next year came back and won the Super Bowl. If Lamar Jackson could follow that same road, they'd be very, very happy with that.
Yeah, Ravens fans are definitely hoping for that. Follow him on Twitter, at Jameson Hensley. Jameson, we appreciate your time and your insights. Stay safe. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys.
And this is what's fun about taking the deep dive look above and beyond where they are and be continued, is you can take a look at things like the addition of Calais Campbell, that because it was a trade for, I think, a fifth-round draft pick, it didn't necessarily get a lot of publicity. I think it's a significant move. And when Jameson says there, look, the Ravens are right neck and neck with the Chiefs moving forward. I mean, that tells you something about the power structure of the AFC. We keep trying to make a reason, an excuse for why Lamar Jackson's success isn't sustainable. Well, at some point, don't you have to look at the fact that he's continually sustaining through that doubt and just buy into what you're seeing? That's where I think we've all gotten with it. So now the question becomes, where does it go next for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? So we'll keep all eyes on it. Every single day, we get you a different team on the QB Continued series. In the meantime, it is the opening day of Major League Baseball, which has me asking, was supposed to be, I should say, which has me asking you guys for your traditions. Whatever your favorite sport is, what do you do on opening day that absolutely sort of rocks you? How do you handle it? And Scott says on Twitter, I always watch Major League before the first Indians game of the year. I started the tradition before the 07 season when they went deep into the playoffs. Haven't stopped since, so I kind of love that. Aaron says it's not my favorite sport, but tradition states an opening day listen of D-back swing by AZ Peacemakers is always required. Carrie says opening day in Cleveland with my twin brother, family, Dollar Dogs, International Beer Tent, Tito's, and Tribe. All in for this. Let's share a little joy. You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Quickly, there is some breaking news. The Indy 500 has been postponed. We're going to get you some breakdown on that, what it means. It looks like at this point, and Ryan McGee from ESPN tweeted this just a few minutes ago as he got the tweet information out there. It looks like that it's been rescheduled for August 23rd, I should say. That's the first 500 to be rescheduled or canceled by something other than a war. The May 9th Indy GP road race has been moved to July 4th, creating the first NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader. So we'll continue to get you information on that and all the news as it breaks. In the meantime, coming up next, Magic Johnson joined First Take to talk about the NBA season before it was postponed. You'll get to hear from Magic and obviously get to hear from the First Take crew together as they'll break all that down. We'll do that next, but first, you're in charge of hiring for your business. Indeed's customized solutions helps you quickly find the perfect new employee. screener questions, narrow the field based on your must-have job requirements, and adding Indeed's online skills test to your posting helps you make your candidate shortlist in record time. Now, your business can flourish with the help of just the right person. And right now, post your first job at Indeed.com/DJ today. Get a sponsored job upgrade for free. That's Indeed.com/DJ. Terms and conditions apply. You'll hear from Magic Johnson and the First Take crew about the NBA season when we come back. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to Geico.com today.
The news you need.
His time in New England has come to a close.
And what it all means.
The bane of your existence just said he's going out of town.
Plus, plenty of fun.
I'm hilarious. Shut up.
Golic and Wingo, tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. If you missed the first hour of the show, fear not. It's on demand in the First Take, your take broadcast brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with the credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and most importantly, helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See Capital One for details. We're asking you, see CapitalOne.com for details, I should say. We're asking you for your opening day traditions. You guys are giving me all sorts of tweets on it. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Whatever the sport may be, the opening day, what's your tradition? Today should have been the opening day for Major League Baseball. Today would have been the beginning of the Sweet 16. We don't get that, but we can at least sort of live through some of the memories of our past. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. We'll take some of your take as we keep going. But in the meantime, there's a challenge in the NBA with the season being shut down. Magic Johnson joins Stephen A. and Max to talk about the NBA season and what it means for players when the season resumes.
Well, I think it really only a small challenge, and that's really getting back in shape and getting your timing. And I think that, you know, it'll take probably 2 weeks or so. But I believe the players are running today. They got to be working out, whether that's at home or running on a track or running in the streets, running on the beach. However, they're all training right now because they know there's a possibility that they will be back to work soon. And so, you know, guys like LeBron and the Greek Freak, all those guys, Kawhi, they know they have to stay in shape. But I think that once hopefully this virus is over and we have contained it, then when the season does get back rolling, it'll take them probably about 2 weeks to really get their timing, because I believe all of them will be in shape going into the season, get back resumed and playing again. And I think that's all they got to get is their timing back.
Magic, are you a proponent of the necessity for a few regular season games to take place before the playoffs begin? Or are you a proponent of, hey, if we got to come back and immediately the playoffs begin, so be it. Just make sure there's a postseason. What is your mindset in regards to that? And what's an ideal starting point in your eyes? Do you have a problem with the league going into the summer, like into August if necessary?
Yeah, I think that we do need definitely some games, no question about it. Now, you can do it one or two ways, right? You can say, okay, if it takes us too long to get back, then just have the teams maybe have some scrimmages between each other, right? Get some, so that they can get some sense of playing again. And so do some exhibitions, some scrimmages, something like that, so they can get back to understanding how to play with each other, get back into game shape, and also their timing and their rhythm. And then go ahead into the playoff or play some regular season games, and that way they'll get all those things. So I do want a couple of games before they actually start the playoff, because it would be good not only for the guys, but it'd be good for us as the basketball fans, because we want to see them at their best. And I think that it's going to take at least a week or two to get to see them at their best.
At this point, I'm just hoping we get to see them, especially for all the teams that are having a special season in some way, shape, or form. We're going to keep taking your opening day traditions. Plus, Dax contracts have resumed. The negotiations there. What's First Take think about it? You'll hear that next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.